Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo. Welcome. Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because today we have a fabulous guest. He is a returning guest, and he is an expert and an author and a researcher, and he's an expert on sociopaths and psychopaths. He's done extensive research, and it appears that they are drawn to positions of power, especially in government. The sociopaths and psychopaths appear to want to control people, but they do not want to be controlled. His name is Stefan Verstappen. You probably have heard of Stefan Verstappen, and you may have heard him on my former radio shows. Today, he's going to share his latest book that's in the works, The Complete Guide to Forming Communities. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But first, let's take a break, and I'm going to be back with you, and I'm going to give you a little bit of information on what is happening in the USA and affecting the rest of the world today.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the Herb Doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right. So, listen up, because there's so many issues of the day that are going on around the world, and especially here in America. And what happens in America affects the rest of the world. In fact, my former cable and radio shows were entitled Issues of the Day. And I brought many issues to the forefront on cable television before cable television was so extremely popular today. And I invited guests from around the world and experts and professionals and judges and lawyers and politicians and community leaders and the victims of legal abuses to the forefront. Eventually, I wrote my book, which won the Irwin Award. And it was an Irwin Award winner, and it was a 5-star review on Amazon.com. And it was seen around the world and sold around the world and seen in magazines and global magazines, in fact, and newspapers, local and national. And I actually was invited on many local and national radio shows to discuss fight back legal abuse that warned Americans of what was happening in the judicial system and warned Americans that we were living under a three-tier justice system that was being turned into a two-tier justice system under the Obama, Hillary, Clinton, Eric Holder, and Democratic Rhino machine. I call it a machine because back in the 90s when I started a grassroots movement, Women Fight Back, led marches around the country trying to get single moms out of jail for trying to protect their children from pedophiles. The judges just said that they were mentally disturbed or they were vindictive and they didn't believe them. So they ended up in jail for trying to protect their children. And we did held candlelit vigils, and it hit the news for many, many years. And Women Fight Back, and we proposed laws that were implemented. I proposed laws that were implemented in the state of California and around the nation. International was not, but national laws were implemented. And we made a lot of changes, but unfortunately, unless someone continues to carry on the torch, the issues of the day that affect our lives are swept under the carpet. But in my book, I warned Americans that this two-tier justice system was being formed and that checks and balances were being eliminated and that all three branches of government were made up of a majority of lawyers and that the lawyers were actually controlling the nation and possibly the world, and that would be the American Bar Association, and that they had turned the Department of Justice into a self-policing, self-disciplining, self-protective system, and they were appointing their own who would go along with this particular system, and it formed a one-branch system under Obama, whereas he was dictating to the country by executive order what we can and cannot do that was not in accordance with the United States Constitution, but the Democrats didn't care and they don't care today. Bottom line, can't talk to a liberal or a Democrat because they aren't going to listen. And yet they accuse the conservatives of holding their own above the law. They need to look in their closets and in the mirror and do some self-reflection. Well, hats off to the law enforcers because 81 men and one woman were arrested in a massive multi-state child exploitation sting in Georgia. Of all states, Georgia. Georgia on my mind. Remember that? Ray Charles? Well, Georgia's on the minds of the law enforcers now. And thank God, because that Georgia was on their mind. Because they rescued 17 minor children. And there is a arrest going on, investigations. And it involved, I think, about 200 different law enforcement agents who actually succeeded in capturing and dismantling this massive multi-state child exploration ring. And it ended up in the state of Georgia. So you can read about that online. And in the Midwest, we want to pray for our Americans and the farmers who are affected by the Midwest flooding that has killed livestock, ruined harvest, and has farmers worried about the future. And I believe three people have been reported dead during these floods in the state of Ohio, and also there are many injuries. So we have many, many homeless Americans now, and they are fighting for their lives and survival. Many were left with nothing. Their homes were totally devastated. Their belongings, their clothing, their food, everything wiped out. So this is very important because in the about 1990, I was at a press meeting. And after the press meeting, this gentleman asked if he could speak with me. I said, sure. So he told me a conspiracy theory. And I was shocked at that time because I've never heard of such a conspiracy theory that involved our deep state government, which I knew nothing about. My mission was about the family law courts and exposing the corruption within the family law courts, wherein I ended up being a whistleblower and brought many, many heartaches into my life because I was naive and innocent and didn't realize the depth of the corruption in our government, and brought many heartaches for my family as well. If you tell the truth, you could get suspended from social media, especially if you are a conservative, or you could be targeted. And that is what most Americans would not believe. Until most recently, they're finding out that anyone can be targeted, even the President of the United States. He can be accused of being a foreign agent for a foreign enemy nation. Be elected into the office of the President of the United States and then allegedly see a coup taking place that happened to be exposed to remove him and replace their favorite, which would be Hillary Clinton, of course, into the Oval Office and bring Bill Clinton back. Maybe when they left the first time and they removed the sterling silver and the china that belonged to the taxpayers, that should have been the hint because they were caught and they had to return it along with some art pieces. So Americans didn't care. So here we are many years later facing this coup d'etat against the President of the United States because certain people favor Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton be returned to finish their mission and their purpose in the Oval Office. But in the meantime, back to the 1990 press meeting, there I was speaking to this stranger, and he handed me his card, and he told me that he wanted me to know, because I had a radio show at the time entitled Women Fight Back and another one, Issues of the Day, that there was he didn't call it a deep state, but he said the evil ones, and they were planning to use high technology that could geoengineer the weather, manipulate the weather, and use triangulation to direct storms to specific areas, and that they were planning on creating floods and hurricanes and tornadoes as part of the New World Order agenda. Well, this was all new to me. I didn't know if he was crazy or he didn't appear crazy. And he said that he was a former agent, federal agent, and they needed this information to get out. But, you know, at that time, where was the evidence or the proof that such an agenda could take place, especially with people involved in our government? Because we trusted our government, right? We trusted people that we elect, of course, and work hard and by the sweat of our brows in our tears and our laughter. We pay taxes to support them for most of their lives because we don't have term limits for Congress, so they end up staying in the Congress for 20, 30, 40 plus years, or they are moved around to different positions and appointed to different positions. So we end up with the same people for decades. And these are the results of the failure of the American people to force the temporary volunteer public servants to impose term limits. So this all leads to problems in our country where we have people who are being made homeless. We are going to have food shortages. We are going to see the rise of food prices in America. We are heading for this. If you don't think so, we are looking at contaminated water. We are looking at a serious crisis in the USA. Not only farmers being put out of business and Americans being thrown out of their homes through wildfires and flooding and hurricanes and tornadoes, unprecedented in for 50 years, 100 years. This is what we've never seen before. We need to wake up. Well, they are flooding our nations with foreigners from foreign enemy nations since the age of Obama, and it's continuing today. I think it is a crime for our government to allow people to enter into our country unidentified and ignore the federal constitutional immigration laws that require inspections and background checks, health care checks, because we are seeing an influx of diseases and infectious diseases in our nation that could cause a pandemic, airborne viruses going unchecked, coming into our country, and then they're using our tax dollars to fly them around into our cities, unidentified people. We don't know if they're cartel members. We don't know if they're jihadists. We don't know if they're gang members. We don't know anything about them. If they have fake IDs, fake social security numbers, maybe they have your social security number. Who the heck knows with all this hacking? What I do know is that we are witnessing unprecedented storms in this country that I was told about in 1990. I did not know if it was a conspiracy theory, true or false, but it stayed in the back of my head. And over the years, I have witnessed this, and we're witnessing it today, and we are going to see food prices skyrocket. We are going to see welfare skyrocket because of the homelessness. We don't have enough tent cities. Seriously, now we're going to have more. There is a serious problem while the liberal Democrats are focused on President Trump and some fake Russian dossier and trying to impeach him or indict him and get him out of office when we have all these problems in our cities. And there's more coming. This isn't going to stop anytime soon. So let's take a break and let's welcome our guest because he has important information he wants to talk about. The Complete Guide to Forming Communities and why you need to know about this. So stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. I will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, welcome back to the Rose Colombo. A long time old gal here, trying to awaken the nation to the problems as a long time, hate to say long time, advocate for justice, activist, proposing laws out there, creating and producing radio shows and cable TV shows, issues of the day, women fight back, writing books for you to awaken you to the New World Order. It is not dead. It's still alive. So these are part of the evil agendas that I learned about long ago in 1990 and then going forward that Americans need to do their research and their homework. And now we're going to turn to our very special guest who is an author, a researcher, philosopher, and he's writing a new book. It's called The Complete Guide to Forming Communities, and he's going to tell you why he's writing this book and why it's important to you and your family and your community. So let's get started, and let's say hello to Stefan Verstappen. Out in Canada, how's the weather out there in Canada? Stefan, how are you?
It's still winter. Summer's been predicted to occur on Friday. So we're looking forward to that Friday. But it's understandable with the, you know, with the chemtrails. It's very heavy up here, and they want to keep it nice and cold. And so we're all forced to move to Mexico.
Well, then we can become illegals, and then we can come back and claim all the goodies or the freebies that all of these third world nations who are unidentified and say they're entitled because the liberals told them they're entitled. So now they believe they're entitled to citizenship in America. They're entitled to driver's license, voting rights, welfare, HUD, food stamps, Obamacare, you name it. They're entitled and they're getting it. Well, the American citizens are struggling to put bread on their table, Stefan.
Well, I'm sure the American citizens are grateful to be able to pay for all these people to come into their country and have all the services that they themselves are denied. I'm sure that wouldn't make anybody upset at all, you know. It's
no,
like I said about
especially Stefan, since they're flying them around and scattering them in our cities, that makes us feel much more safe than before to know that they might be living next door.
Yeah, you know, and it's part of their diabolical plot. And I listen to YouTubers from all over the world, and I've been particularly interested in some of them from Ireland. You know, poor Ireland, what they've done to Ireland. It's unbelievable. It's the same program that's been instituted in America, in Canada, in New Zealand, in Australia, Germany, France, Belgium, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, the same programming. And that is, you know, and there we got these Irish people on YouTube saying, I don't know Ireland anymore. There's no Irish people left. There's a small town where 300 Irish people live. They're, you know, farmers, but most of their farms are now defunct because it's no longer economically viable. And they've suddenly put up 1,500 Somalians in the local motel.
It's like over here in Michigan. Michigan's the same way. They're training up jihadists, believe it or not. They're recruiting them. Over in the United States of America, they have a whole state with no-go zones in our homeland where we're not allowed to go. And if we say anything like show Christian literature or say a prayer or talk to anyone about Christianity or Catholicism or the good old American way of life, my God, they're going to call the police on us because they're setting up their own police departments, too, in Michigan and New York City.
Yeah, that's a good idea. as if the police department isn't already corrupt enough as it is. We got to have special. It's just going to be gangs now, right? It's going to be the
well,
problem.
I think the gangs are controlling the world.
The Hasidic PD gang.
It's not the gang of eight. It's the gang of probably 800.
Yeah. You see, I lived in China for a long time. The Chinese don't like police. They've always been suspicious of it. And the reason is, for the entire history of China, 4,000 years, police have been as corrupt as the gangs have been corrupt. As a matter of fact, a lot of Chinese join gangs as protection against the police. Look, this is you know, when you give people, and especially men, a tribe, and you give them guns, and you tell them you can do whatever you want, like, how long do you think it takes before this goes south? I mean, did we not see the Stanford prison experiment, you know, where they took college students and made them prison guards, and within 3 days they were already torturing and brutalizing prisoners because they just couldn't help themselves, you know. So imagine
so
that the government is hiring all these, yeah, all these young men, and half of them are on roids, you know, so they got the roid rage going, and, you know, they're shrinking testicles now, need to prove themselves, and you dress them up like Darth Vader, for Christ's sakes. They all got black outfits and tactical vests and tanks and Black Hawk helicopters. I mean, yeah, these are the cops, you know. Like,
well,
you
they pull people off the streets, yeah. I mean, you're going to be scared, right? You're looking at Darth Vader, hello.
Yeah, armed to the teeth. They got tasers. They got pepper spray. They got batons. They got extendable batons. They got firearms. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like, yeah, I feel safe now, you know. And, of course, there's nothing you can do to defend yourself because they will kill you. So, you know.
They
just
will kill
obey.
You.
Yeah, they will kill you. You know? So, yeah, that's not a good idea.
Probable
and then,
cause.
And then give those powers to every minority group from all around the world, you know, like store owners aren't going to know who to pay anymore. Do I pay the mafia? Do I pay the triads? Do I pay the Boston police? You know.
Well, let's face it, Stefan, what do you think? We are all prisoners of this unseen net that, you know, and people who are behind this net or veil that we can't see, and they're controlling everything. And so it appears, because you're talking about communities, from what I was saying before, in 1990, when this gentleman approached me, who told me that he used to work for in the White House for the federal government, he told me about this geoengineering, the weather, manipulating the weather, and I thought, is he crazy or what, you know? And the thing is that, so I've always been more aware of watching the weather than probably most people, since that stuck in my head. And so I was probably one of the first to really keep posting that those aren't contrails, those are chemtrails. And so many people became angry with me 10 years ago, but not so many now. But back then, they were very angry our government wouldn't do that to us, right? So my point is that I think they create drought. And I think it's killing the trees and the birds and the plants and the butterflies and all this. And so if they're geoengineering and targeting rural areas where there's farms and we depend on those farms, then are they creating, Stefan, collectivism and forcing the people who live in the country and rural areas into the cities?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I did a video in my Paradise Stolen series. I'm still working on it. I come out with one every year. I'm not too prolific. But it's an attempt to explain in a very simple and non-offensive way things that are going on in the world. And one of my videos is called The Myth of Overpopulation. And in it, I show that, you know, it seems like we're all crowded because we're all forced into the big cities. And And what I reference is an experiment from the 1960s by a sociologist called Richard Calhoun, who did a series of experiments called the Mouse Utopia Experiment. And he repeated the experiment dozens of times with mice, with rats. And what he did is he created an environment where mice could live and they would have all their needs taken care of, burrows, food, water, okay? And he watched the population explode. And what happened to the mouse population is, well, they eventually went extinct. But what you see in the degradation of the mouse population is exactly what we see nowadays. We're purposely being forced into these cities because these cities are a sinkhole. They're a genetic sinkhole. They're a behavioral sinkhole in which we will die. You will die living in this city over a long period of time. It might take a few decades, but I think the intent is shooting a duck in a barrel or a fish in a barrel. They've got you gathered together. And about 2 years ago, I traveled across the United States 5 years ago. I drove across. And then I went across Canada a couple of years ago. And you know what I've seen, which is tragic, is all these small towns are dying. They're all dying. You know, I went up north and to Thunder Bay, north of the Lake Superior, you know. And, it's an area where the mosquitoes will drain you alive in about 10 minutes. And all these small towns are dying. They're dead. Half the houses have for sale signs on them. You know, you drive up and down the side streets, what used to be really nice, homey communities, and you can't see the lawns for the for sale signs. The downtown area, which used to be a main street with a bakery and a hardware store and a movie theater, you know, those old-time movie theaters, all boarded up. There's no work up there. There's no life up there. The people that are still left, half of them are strung out on opioids and meth. It's tragic. Our heartland has been gutted. And I think this is on purpose. Of course it's on purpose by the same evil that you mentioned earlier.
You bring up a good point, because if you really think about it, we've been conditioned to trust our government and everybody we elect and blah, 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 blah. And we've been so happy to work hard by the sweat of our brows and our tears and our joy and pay them for a lifetime, and they continue to increase their cost of living and their wages, their benefits, their private health care, and their lifetime pensions. So they've been living off the American people forever. And as long as they go along with the program, then they made it so that even if you've only been in office in America for a year, you get all of these benefits and lifetime pension. I want to know why. Why are they getting a lifetime pension when they could work 1 to 8 years, or let's even say 12 years in the government? That doesn't equate to a lifetime pension paid by the taxpayers in my book. And so it appears to me, my point is, that they are making sure that they are taken care of and end up wealthy, while the rest of the people who are going to be affected by the chemtrails, the geoengineering, the skyrocketing of food and water and gasoline and so forth, are going to really suffer. What do you think?
Well, the answer to that is that our governments are run by psychopaths and have been for hundreds of years. Unless you understand that basic premise, you won't understand what's being done to you. And everything else will fall into place. That's why, you know, we spoke about this on other occasions, Rose, in my video, Defense Against the Psychopath. Nobody gets elected to office above the level of dog catcher that isn't a psychopath. They are selected to be the politicians. And so a psychopath whose only concern is themselves, of course they're going to make sure they got the best pension. They have a pension and a health plan and a dental and optimum and retirement that you and I can't dream of, Rose. You know, I mean, if you or I, you know, received a pension like that, we could support 10 families, for crying out loud. So, and then they're in there for life, it seems. They're like ticks. You know, once they've got their head in the big, big tit of mother government, you can't get these bastards out, you know. So that's why they got the pensions, because they're psychopaths. Psychopaths follow a parasite strategy. You know,
they like they instant self-gratification.
Always, always instant long-term self-gratification. Me, me, me. That's all they think about. And if that means murdering half the population of the planet to get what they want, they don't care. You know, and then when you said people don't believe about the chemtrails, the government would
right.
never do that. I mean, even mainstream history shows time and time again, your own government has murdered millions of people. They've done all kinds of nasty things. You know, they let, you know, sarin gas out in subway stations. They spread viruses all over the country by airplane just to see if it would kill you. I mean, look, folks, the government in the last century killed over 260 million people, not including wars. Just them personally starving you and shooting you. 260 million people. It's called democide. It means genocide by your own government. Those people that you elected into government would just sit back and have a martini and a margarita and put their feet up and gladly watch you lined up in front of a pit and shot in the back of the head. It wouldn't mean anything to them. They would enjoy it. So let's disabuse ourselves of two notions. One, that the government does anything for the people. Government does nothing for the people, ever, never did, never will. The government does everything for the psychopaths in control. And the second thing is, they don't care about you. And so, you know, it just infuriates me every time I see a politician, stand up in front of a microphone and tell the country that they're going to save us. Oh, my God. Save us from you? Step down. The best thing you can do to save us is for you to go hang yourself, for crying out loud, because it's ridiculous. Government doesn't save us.
Well, even God can't save us anymore, because just today Nancy Pelosi ordered the sign that says, I think it said One Nation Under God or In God We Trust, something like that, removed. After 150 years of being there. Yeah.
Sure,
so even God's being removed from this country.
Because Nancy Pelosi would shrink and shrivel up and burst into flames if holy water was thrown on her. So I can understand. I mean, I think we should have that as a test in government there before you can assume the office. We're just going to sprinkle you with some holy water, and if you burst into flames, well, too bad. No pension for you.
Well, let me give you an example, you know, of why I think, you know, the government is so out of control. Every time I go through the airports, which I did recently, I visit family in Arizona, you know, you have to show all your identification, Stefan, and it better be, you know, exactly as they, you know, require, because they keep changing it, and they put more information about you, I guess, on your driver's licenses so they can, like, infrared it. And then you need to take off your shoes, your belts, take out your computers, take off your jacket, just disrobe. Then that's not enough. They put you into a criminal naked x-ray machine, stand on the yellow line, hands up, you're under arrest, basically. You're a criminal. And they naked x-ray you, which is very intrusive, and radiation can cause cancer, death, aging, cataracts. It can diminish the growth of a minor child, and it can cause sterilization, because that's what Hitler used during World War II to sterilize the Jews. And so this is stand in line, show your identification. It better be real or you're going to be in trouble. You have to disrobe. You have to be naked x-rayed. And on top of that, sometimes they'll pat you down even after the naked x-ray and disrobing, and which has happened to me. And then And then stop me each time and say they want to pat down my hair. I find that harassment to the max. And, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I'm watching these foreigners not remove their hijabs or their burqas and not being searched and not having the same treatment that we're having. And on top of that, I was born in this country. I'm a natural-born American and a law-abiding taxpayer and registered voter, et cetera. Lived here all my life. This is my homeland. And on top of that, my parents pay taxes. My grandparents pay taxes here. And on top of that, want to know what really irks me, Stefan? Mm-hmm. Is all these illegals, millions, are in our country with fake IDs. People from third world nations in the Middle East have learned to speak Spanish. They've taken on Spanish surnames. They've taken fake IDs, driver's licenses. They hand them California driver's licenses. They give them Social Security. They put them on welfare. They set them up in no-go zones, giving away our nation city by city to them. And these are illegals in our country, or fake refugees or fake asylum seekers who didn't come here as the law defines to escape from tyrannical laws. They came here to, from their own lips and writings, to impose their tyrannical laws. And yet they are all unidentified. They don't go through the airports. They don't go through the airports. They don't go to the ports of entry. And yet they cater to them. They force us to take care of them, maybe for the rest of their life. Some are polygamous. Some are commit incest. Some are bigamous. And those are all crimes in the USA, but nobody cares in the government. The only people they care about, disrobing, naked x-raying, patting down your body, patting down your hair, are legal Americans.
Well, let's state an unpleasant truth, and that is all of this is aimed at European genocide. That's what it is. I mean, the reason you're targeted is because you're of European descent. I don't want to say white because that falls into their playbook where we have to divide ourselves up by color. I'm not a color. I'm not white. I'm pink and I'm tan in the summertime. But I'm
from
Europe.
Do you know that there's no such thing as white because everybody has melanin?
Yeah, of course. There is no,
so all
I mean,
of this
it's
is
just
these words they use is, like you said, the playbook, you know, to divide people, right?
Exactly. But what they're after is, this is aimed specifically at European Americans, and it's to genocide us. And Europeans, too, because the same thing is happening in Europe. It's the same thing is happening in poor little tiny Ireland, who had been abused enough throughout its history, you know, with the British starving them to death in the 1870s. So, you know, this is all... Let's forget about all, you know, helping people. What, you think the people in government want to help Somalians and Mexicans and Nicaraguans? You think that's what the Democrats want? They want to help these people? I already explained it to you. These people help only themselves. They don't care about anybody or anything. So this whole idea that we have to help the rest of the world, no, that's got nothing to do with it. What they're doing is it's an agenda to destroy the European heritage. And the reason is Europeans have always been the ones that were least likely to be tamed and enslaved. They always fought back. That's why they were such a thorn in the side of the Roman Empire. You know, they were always battling the Franks and the Germans because they wouldn't back down. They wouldn't easily assume slavery and become a bootlicker. I mean, that's changing pretty fast. We do have a nation of bootlickers now. You know, traditionally we have stood up for individualism, integrity, entrepreneurship, self-reliance. All those things are anathema to the government. They don't want you self-reliant. They don't want you to stand up. They don't want you to think for yourself because that makes it harder for them to rule over you. So that's what this is all about, Rose. You know, they're after us. They want to kill us.
I believe that because I have a relative that they didn't only put her through the X-ray machine once, they put her through twice. I mean, she's a skinny little girl, you know. I'm just like, why would you put her through twice? Do you know how much radiation that is? I mean, it, you know what it does? It sets off your free radicals cells. It's like a little army. And once those are set off, they start killing the healthy cells in your body, and they cannot reverse it. There's no reversing.
Yeah.
So you start aging, you start getting sick, things can happen to your body. So in my opinion, they have violated the Fourth Amendment, and they are assaulting our bodies. And I don't think the American people get it.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's brings me to the book. How much time do we have left? 15?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So what we see
I wanted to discuss all this because a lot of people don't, you know, didn't hear those particular shows of how your research has, you know, brought you to this point now where you feel that you need to write the complete guide to forming communities. I think it's extremely important that they realize what's happening not only to America but to Canada and around the world. So why don't you tell us what made you want to write this book and share it with the world?
Sure. It goes back. I started this book about 7-8 years ago. But I had it on the back burner for a couple of years. I did other things. But I was researching history because, first of all, I did an article for Gerald Celente of Trends Magazine, and it was called Historical Cycles, Are We Doomed to Repeat the Past? And I have a video out based on the article as well. And, you know, for my study of history, I'm an amateur historian. My first book is on Chinese military history. But for my study of history, I could see that, look, by now everybody can see it. We're on the downtrend of empire. It's ending for us, folks. You know, things are going downhill really fast. What's going to happen when, you know, bread reaches 25 bucks a loaf? What's going to happen when your pension check doesn't come in? Because if you think the government's got your pension money in a lockbox somewhere, then I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, you know? There is no pension money. They already spent it 40 years ago. We're running on fumes in terms of pensions. So what's going to happen if all that collapses? No pension, no health care system, no Medicaid, and the food prices and the currency devalues to nothing so that you can wallpaper your bedroom with $10 bills. How do you survive that? So that's when I began researching the book. And what I discovered was that in the past, before the government came in, and specifically before the policies of Roosevelt, who was an evil, demonic entity. Oh, my God, that guy did so much harm to America. It's unbelievable. But, of course, he's a hero. but before that, people survived by forming communities. And after I started writing this book, I came across the term neo-tribalism, which describes perfectly my own journey into discovering what our ancestors did to survive. And neo-tribalism is a term coined by a sociologist, Miguel Mazzoli, who said that after postmodernism declined, the societies would embrace nostalgia and look to the distant past for guidance. So I looked to the distant past for guidance, and I discovered what our ancestors did was form communities, all kinds of communities, small ones, medium-sized ones, big ones. They formed lodges, friendly societies, mutual aid communities, emergency preparedness communities, disaster response communities, homelessness communities. They worked together and they pooled their money. Now, this is before welfare, before Medicaid. And just to give an example, like the lodge system typically provided health insurance to members. So this would be like the Moose Lodge or the Elks Lodge or the Foresters is the one that still survives, and they still offer health insurance. Now, back in the day, for what would today be about $150 to $200 a month, they provided complete health insurance. What is your health insurance cost now, Rose? $1,500? $2,000?
Well, it depends on the family size, of course, but it's very expensive for most people, yes.
It's it's 1,000 times more expensive than what it cost to buy health insurance through the Elks Lodge 100 years ago. And the reason it's 1,000 times more expensive is the government's in charge. You know, so for every dollar you contribute to your pension, the government steals 99 cents and spends it on themselves through various forms of corruption. Whereas when communities did this for themselves, the Elks Lodges and Odd Fellows Association and things like that, they spent, you know, 98 cents on a dollar in actual services for its members. They were accountable to the members of the community on how they spent that money, and it was way more efficient and everybody benefited. So that's what they did. So I started writing the book to see how can we create modern equivalents to these friendly societies, these mutual aid groups, and how can we morph them into, you know, supplying different types of services. So, you know, for example, when you were talking earlier today on the show about the price of groceries, I know myself, I go to the grocery store every 3 days, and I'm not kidding, Rose, every 3 days the prices go up. Now, you know, mayonnaise is $3.39 a jar, and then it's $3.45 a jar, and then it's $3.47 a jar. Oh, my God, it just... What's going to happen when the price of groceries goes up? And I currently pay like $600 a month, which is ridiculous. That's a mortgage payment, crying out loud, on groceries. Well, if one possible solution is to form a buying group. If I were to pool my $600 a month with five other people who also, you know, pay $600 a month for groceries, now we got $3,000. And we get a wholesaler's license, and we buy our groceries for a wholesale cost. Or we go to a bulk buying location, and we buy everything all at once. We'll save 30, 40, 50% on our grocery bill. So simply by forming a small group, which is called a buying group, and there's no heavy paperwork or incorporation papers, nothing like that you need to do. It's a simple agreement, and I will have examples of all these agreements in the book in the download so that everything is done for you, you know. And you just find five people, you know, go to your neighbors, go to your family members. How much are you paying on groceries? Well, what if we all go once a month, we buy a whole month's worth of groceries at the same time from the wholesaler, and it'll cost you half of what you're paying now. Would you agree to that? And if they do, then that's it. That's all you need to do. So that's a form of community. So
that's an excellent idea.
Sure. And somebody else suggested, I was talking to somebody else about this, and they said, well, then you can take it to the next level and incorporate as a nonprofit and organize a food co-op and sell groceries, you know, in the parking lot at the farmer's fair once a month to everybody who's a member of your food co-op. You know, exactly. You can scale these groups and communities to apply to a lot of different people and provide benefits to many, many people. And look, the thing is, you're saving money, you're surviving. And nowadays, when everybody is tight, they can't, you know, at the end of the month, everybody's, you know, eating Roman noodles. I know. So if you had an extra $300 at the end of the month, wow, maybe buy a birthday cake for one of the kids that time, you know, something. I mean, it just makes practical sense, but we have to work together. Now, here's the thing, though. Our government and the powers that be have done everything in their power to destroy our ability to cooperate and form communities. That's why, you know, half of the programs that you see in the place is to divide and conquer. You know, the feminism has destroyed families, you know, husband and wives, and then you get the kids every other week, and look, that family is destroyed. they no longer have any community with their own family. And then the politics, you know,
But that was part of the plan to destroy the family. And that was the major part, because the family in the United States of America was the foundation of a civilized nation. And that way you didn't have people running off and raping people, you know, men raping women. And you didn't have, like we do today, we have tons of incest and rapes and all kinds of stuff going on. And then we have latchkey kids. We didn't have all those problems in the past before the liberals came along.
Sure. And all of this is part of the, let's face it, it's part of the Communist Manifesto. This is what they're part of their intention. Destroy the family, destroy the community, destroy the religion, destroy the country. And that's what they're doing. And they're wildly successful. So if we want to fight back against that, we have to look. And, you know, I get it. There's a big obstacle. I don't like people anymore either. You know, we've all been through the selfish, you know, a-holes. You know, everybody's got an opinion and they're all married to it. Now I want to tell you about it. No, look, nobody cares about your opinion. You know, just shut up and work together. You know, but we're divided politically, religious, this and that. You know, they've poisoned our culture so badly that, yeah, I don't like people anymore. I don't socialize that much like I used to. Part of it's because I'm getting a little bit older, but you know, this is part of their programming. We got to fight back. You know, swallow your pride. Okay, so your next door neighbor, he's a liberal. I know we should punch them, but resist the urge to punch them. Instead, let's work together. Form a buying community, or form an emergency search and rescue team for your local town. You know, give you a reason to get together and train and do things and have a purpose in life. But here's the final clue to what's going on, and that is, when I was researching this, I came across lots of different articles that link a lack of community, a lack of belonging to community, to all the other scourges of our modern society: depression, loneliness, drug addiction, alcoholism, suicide, cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's. All of these illnesses and diseases have a direct cause in being alienated from the world. We're alienated. That's part of the programming, to alienate us from our families and our communities and our religions, and we're all separated. We are meant to be tribal people. We're meant to be part of a community of loving friends and family that talk to you and come and visit you, and you'll have dinner once a week together. This is part of the human condition, and when you're separated from that, you wither and you die. You die from the mental illness of depression. You die from the diseases of depression, such as alcoholism. And you die physically from cancer and diabetes, from the lack of communication. And so not only is it important, and why I wrote the book, to learn how to form communities to survive the coming economic worldwide World War III collapse. Because, listen, if you don't do this now, you're not going to make it through what's coming. You have to have a solid group of people that will work together. But even if the world doesn't come to an end, you still need community in order to live a long and healthy life.
That is excellent, and I wish we had time to hear more about your different programs, but unfortunately, like always, we've run out of time. And so how are they going to be able to access your book, and what is your book completed?
No, the book is still in process. I'm raising some funds on GoFundMe so I can finish the book. It's about a quarter. I've got 200 pages, which is about halfway done. But I need to hire a research assistant with this one. It's too much even for me. It's going to be like an encyclopedia. But on the other hand, it will provide you with everything you need. All the paperwork, how to conduct meetings, how to organize it, you know, rules and bylaws and charters. And I'm going to include that all in the download package. Just fill in your name, print it out, bring it to the local office, boom, you're incorporated, off you go, and start forming communities, forming your own tribes. So the GoFundMe campaign is on GoFundMe, how to create a community. And if you just get an advanced copy, it should be finished in September. That will help me to finish it, and I can take the next 2 months and get this out there.
Thank you so much, Stefan, for stopping, and we'll look forward to hearing more about the Complete Guide to Forming Communities, because I know it's a great undertaking to help everyone in this country and anyone else around the world, and I wish you much success with it, because you are a wealth of information. So thank you so much for being our very special guest today, Stefan Verstappen.
Thank you, Rose, for having me on, and all the best.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our very special guest, Stefan Verstappen, has left the building. And this is going to be an exciting, exciting book, because it's going to have a wealth of information that's going to help you and your family and your loved ones survive, or your friends and neighbors, because we don't know exactly when or why or how or what is going to happen to us, because just overnight there's a flood, overnight there's a hurricane, overnight there's a tornado and people are made homeless, wildfires. There's more wildfires in this country and Europe and Israel since 2009 and currently than we've ever seen in the history, I believe, of our great nation and countries around the world. We need to be alert and we need to pay attention. We need to do our homework and our research, and we need to prepare for any emergency, any type of emergency. So if you aren't proactive, and you are going to just dismiss all that information, then you cannot complain when something happens, because you did not want to take action and prepare for any emergency, not just a natural disaster, but any emergency. That is our responsibility as human beings, as adults. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, and the teachers in our public schools should be teaching the children on how to survive any type of emergency and what steps to take. And so on that note, I have to say God bless you, God bless America, and I believe the Mueller report is closed, and we need to move on to help our fellow Americans in the Midwest, our farmers, and everyone who is suffering from the natural disasters that are happening around the country and have happened, and those fellow Americans are living in tents. We need to pay attention to what is happening on the ground. God bless you. God bless America. God bless President Trump. I don't know how he's been able to manage staying on focus with all of this distraction by the left. It is shameful. While our borders are wide open, while they're removing In God We Trust from our federal and state buildings, shameful. It is totally shameful. This nation is built on a Christian foundation of principles and values and morals, and we need to get back to it. We are not a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of natural-born Americans. We have been a nation of natural-born Americans since the framers created and approved the United States Constitution and defined the natural-born American versus the immigrants who were then naturalized Americans. If they assimilated and they legally entered and they pledged their allegiance to the United States Constitution, that is a naturalized American. All naturalized and legal and illegals in America can be deported. The only people who cannot be deported are legal, natural-born Americans. That makes us Americans. That makes us the United States of America. If we were not a nation of Americans, natural-born Americans, we could not be the United States of America. Everyone who comes from different countries and were born in different countries, foreign countries around the world, are natural-born citizens of their foreign nations. And when they come to America, they're required to enter legally. They're required to be inspected by law and background checked and checked for diseases. They are required to assimilate. They are required by law to uphold the United States Constitution, not foreign laws, or not try to impose foreign laws on the American people or in the USA. That is called treason under the United States Constitution. So God bless you. God bless America. And stay alert. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.